Solange Legal has joined The Antidote. Solange, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much for having me.
You know, I got to tell you that I first heard of you just a few months ago, but I'm sure your music must have started earlier than that. So how did it begin?
I actually first performed on stage when I was three.
Three?
Because my dad had a country and rock band, and he was also involved in music ministry at church, but every summer they would do a concert out at Cultus Lake, and it was a big campground that we have locally. And so that year, there was this song that we ended up performing together, and it was called Daddy's Girl. And so he would sing the verses, and then I would sing the chorus. And it was it's a really cute little song, but that was kind of my introduction into the music world.
That's adorable. How well did he pay you?
Well, you know, lollipops and...
Okay, well, I'll tell you about the first of your songs that I actually got into, and that was I Surrender, a worship song about finding peace in God. Now, are you telling your own story with that song?
Yes, actually. All of my music is kind of bubbling up from within me, my own story, kind of my own prayer life. So there's a lot kind of within each song that kind of shows a different part of the journey or a different part of my story.
You're a professional, but you're staying as an independent artist. Doesn't that double your workload?
It does, but you know, I think it's actually very beneficial. There's so many things that I'm learning through this process, and there's so many people that I get to connect with that I wouldn't otherwise. And that part to me is actually the best part of it, is connecting with the listeners. It's connecting with the people on my team or the people that I choose to work with. So all of those different things, that means the most to me. So I'm really actually enjoying more than I thought I would this part of the journey.
And how is it that you're connecting with your listeners? How do they find out about you?
Most of the time it's on your socials. I have a few songs out, so they are playing on a variety of radio stations and things kind of around the globe. Which is kind of bizarre to me. It seems kind of amazing that just a few months ago I was like nobody, and now I've got stuff kind of here, there, and everywhere. But I'm connecting mostly with people on socials and online, so through Facebook, through Instagram, you know, messages, comments, things like that.
Now, I think I should explain to you that your style of music is a rarity on The Antidote.
I've noticed that from listening.
It is pretty unusual for me to invite a CCM artist for a talk. Something else that's not so common is that you're Métis and creating Christian music. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that I really don't know of many other Indigenous Canadian artists who are making music with a Christian focus.
There aren't very many. I have been trying to find who I can kind of in this world that are doing this. And I mean, I have found a couple, but not in the same genre, not in the same style as I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I have found another woman locally, but she is more traditional Indigenous music. Mm-hmm. It's the style that she plays. And then I did find a gentleman out in Winnipeg, and his style is country and folk. So there's no one kind of doing the contemporary pop kind of style that I've kind of gravitated, you know, maybe with a little dash of jazz and a little dash of rock and a little dash of this and that. But, you know, there's no one that seems to be doing quite what I'm doing. And there's probably somebody out there, but I just haven't met them yet.
So doing pop with worship, that really is the real you?
I want to say contemporary. It's really a mix. It's like a melting pot of a bunch of things. And that just comes from a variety of styles. I mean, I love gospel, so you'll hear, you know, elements of that in the music. And even just what I grew up around. So my dad, as I mentioned earlier, he had a music ministry that he played with, and they would travel and they would play, you know, different communities and churches. And he often wove all these different styles and genres together in the music, and the group did that. And it got people really excited when they would do that kind of thing. And so I really enjoy it as well. Probably also when I was growing up, my favorite movie was Sister Act. So so you can probably hear, you know, some influence from there as well.
If they do a remake of it, you're guaranteed to have a spot.
Oh, wouldn't that be the dream?
Another of your singles is You Are, and you sing, "You're the light I see, you're the air I breathe, you're the song I sing, you are my everything." Lyrics like that make it sound as if your faith is almost all-encompassing.
Yes, yes it is. It's probably the biggest part of who I am.
Something that's interesting about you is that you're doing more than just making music. You became part of the Healing and Reconciliation Grant Committee. Now, we have American listeners to this show, so it may be a good idea to give us sort of a brief explanation about what that actually is and how you became involved.
Well, as I mentioned, I'm Métis. I'm Indigenous from both sides of my family. I'm Métis. So from my one side, I am Cree, and from the other side, there's Ojibwe. Mm-hmm. So those, you know, different things kind of come together. When the news of the Kamloops Residential School broke, and this was back in May of 2021, and I found that really hard. It was a struggle for me to see how my identity as Indigenous, Métis, and my identity as Christian, as Catholic, how these things could reconcile within myself. And so I did struggle with that. I mean, it still is a kind of a work in progress. But I ended up writing a letter to our Archbishop here in Vancouver. And it was just a one page, you know, a handwritten letter. And I expressed to him, you know, through my prayers and my thoughts, and this is how I'm feeling, you know, this is where I'm at. And I just shared with him. And so it was shortly after I sent him that letter that he got in touch, and the Archdiocese asked if I would consider being on this Healing and Reconciliation Grant Committee. And I had no idea that they were putting this together or what it was all about. And quite honestly, I kind of came back and said, you know, I think you got the wrong person. Like, thanks, but I don't think this is, you know, the right fit. And they came back and they said, no, we really feel that, you know, you're being called to this. You don't want me. And they came back and said, no, those are the reasons we do want you. And so I went, oh, well, I guess I can't win this one. So I said, well, I'll give it a try and we'll see. And the Holy Spirit will make it clear whether I'm supposed to be here or not. So, you know, I was very much relying on Spirit to kind of lead and guide through that. And so for those who don't know, in Canada, the Catholic bishops have committed $30 million towards healing and reconciliation projects or reconciliation work. And for us locally in Vancouver, our archdiocese has committed towards that $2.5 million. So the committee that I'm on, we got the applications from people locally, whether that's First Nations or from individuals or from, you know, different, they come from all different places. And we look through the applications and we connect with those people. We make sure that they kind of fit in to the guidelines that are set forth for the reconciliation work. And then we actually forward it on to a national committee that gives it a once more kind of go over and then disperses the funds. But this committee, it opens so many doors. It's actually amazing to see how Indigenous people and people of the church, how they can come together. And there's times where I've been invited to go and be present to the work that is happening, whether it's traditional ceremonies or, you know, events that are being put on. Mm-hmm. And it is always such a blessing and an honor to be there with those people and hear their stories and be on the land with them and just share that time of togetherness.
This could be an impossible question for you to answer. I think every person views themselves a specific way. With you being both Métis and a Catholic Christian, which one do you see as being dominant?
And I think you're right. I think that is an impossible question. I think, first and foremost, I am a child of God. And then all of these different things that He's gifted me with, whether it's my Indigenous heritage, my music, my family, all of those things are facets that reflect that relationship with God and reflect how I am his child.
You're a pretty special lady because you're letting the listeners of The Antidote hear an unreleased song from your upcoming EP.
Yes, very special.
Can you tell us the story of The Answer? What does it mean to you?
Well, as you said, the first song that you heard, and that was actually my first release, was I Surrender. And so that song was very much about God's own desire for a relationship and how he always reaches out to us first. And then each song on the EP is like a different step in that journey. They each have their own color, their own feel, kind of like chapters in a book. And so when you get to The Answer, that's kind of like coming full circle. It's, you know, it started with God having this invitation and saying, you know, kind of come to me. And then when you get to The Answer, it's that realization of how sweet and how wonderful it is to surrender to God, and it's just so full of joy.
And we're going to hear that in a second. Before this talk, you told me that there is a way of getting The Answer before the January release date.
Yes, this is actually a little bit funny. I figured when I started releasing a few months ago that I would just release everything digitally, but as I was, you know, talking to people and the first song, I Surrender, came out, people started asking me, can I get a CD? Where's the CD? When can I order a CD? And I went, people still want CDs? So I was a little bit shocked and a little bit surprised at it myself. But because there was an ask for it, because that's kind of what people were wanting, I thought, well, sure, I can print up CDs. So for anybody who does want all of the music or would like it early before it is digitally released, then they can order the CD off my website. And it has everything from the EP, so everything that was recorded, it's all there together. And I did want to make that available, you know, for those who, my mom was one of them, you know, she wanted a CD and she wanted to hear everything right away. So for anyone who does want to kind of get everything right away and just can't, you know, can't wait for the release date, then that is a way that they can get it early.
And the website is?
SolangeLegalMusic.com. So it's my first and last name with music at the end.
Well, here's a final point. What would you describe as being the purpose of your music?
Well, all of my music, as I mentioned earlier, kind of bubbles up and overflows from my prayer life and relationship with God. It is a sharing of both my personal and ancestral spirituality. And it's really a personal sharing of just who I am and the journey that I've walked.
Well, Solange, this has been wonderful. I got to thank you for spending time with The Antidote.
Oh, thank you very much. I was pleased to be able to join you and have a chat together.